Hello and welcome back to Of Muggles and Mudbloods with me, Tally Wickman, and
Mona Melissa. Hello.
Hello. So we just got out of a long meeting with our Rotrak Club, but now we're here to talk about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 10, The Rogue Bludger, which is a terrible incident which proves a lot of issues with the Harry Potter world as far as I'm concerned, and of course the absolute incompetence of Gilderoy Lockhart. That, oh my god. So in case you hadn't noticed yet, I really dislike him.
I mean, who likes him really?
Nobody likes him. Well, except for literally all the girls in the series that are crushing on him, which is also insane, because he is, as Ron would put it, an insufferable git.
He's so arrogant. How can someone have a crush on him?
Yeah. He literally calls Harry a useful player.
A useful player?
Yeah, he's like, I hear you're a useful player at Quidditch.
Wow.
Like, I'm sorry, Harry is like the youngest seeker in a century. He's more than useful. He's more than fucking useful. Okay. So, Mona, do you have a timer for me?
Yep.
Okay. Then let's count us down to get the 1 minute recap of the chapter.
3, 2, 1.
So the trio get the library book from the library, thanks to them flattering Gilderoy Lockhart an extreme amount. And they also have, Harry has to suffer through a bunch of torturous classes where he is made to reenact teaching with Lockhart, which is terrible. They have the Quidditch match, the Bludgers follow him. He gets his arm broken, but he catches the snitch, which is the important part, according to Oliver Wood, who would rather see Harry die than lose a game. Gilderoy Lockhart removes his arm bones, and then he is stuck in the hospital wing where he sees Dobby, who tells him that the Chamber of Secrets has been opened before, and then he sees Colin Creevy get carried in to the hospital wing after being petrified, and they have a conversation between Dumbledore and Professor McGonagall that Harry listens to, and that's basically it, isn't it? I think, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yay.
With 4 seconds left.
Well, that's fantastic. So in this chapter, we have another petrification. And now it's human. So they should really, really, really be going and getting that mail order mandrake route, because holy shit. Now students are dying. You've got some explaining to do.
They're not dying.
No, not dying. They're just petrified.
Yeah, there's a difference. Okay,
there is a small difference, but are you moving stuff? I was like,
so sorry, I forgot. Okay,
there's still something happening. I don't know what's happening.
I'm not doing anything.
Your feet, maybe. That's scratching there. Okay, something's happening.
I have no idea.
Let's switch back to the headphone thing.
Okay.
I like, cut all this stuff out.
Is there any difference now?
Talk a bit.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, fine. That works. That works. Okay. So yeah, the apothecary thing is like really irritating. Like, for me, just order some bloody root.
Okay, but if they order a certain amount that is like more than usual, wouldn't that be a little bit concerning?
Maybe, but like, it could just be for potions class. I'm sure there's other uses for mandrake root.
But wouldn't the potion class professor already have the ones that they need.
Yeah, that would also be something that they should have. If it's used in potions, you should have it, Snape. Anyway. So in this chapter, we're going to get into a few other subjects. And one thing we want to get into here for real is actually Quidditch rules, because there's some weird shit going on with Quidditch. And like,
okay,
there needs to be some, you need to be able to take a time out in the game if something is going wrong, like a football sized steel ball pelting after a player.
Yeah, that, yeah. Wait, they're not allowed any break, like time out?
Like, they can call a time out, but they can't pause the game to fix the bludger.
Oh my god, yeah, they can't.
Which is like, I'm sorry, Harry's being beat to death by a bludger.
Yeah.
Can you at least, like, switch it out? You've got to have extra bludgers that don't want to kill the player.
Yeah.
Also, come on, Dobby. Like, seriously? The guy
is... He could have thought of something at least a bit more safer.
Yeah, he could have gotten Harry... I don't know.
Harry... Detention, or...
Dobby's logic is great. Like, he just wants Harry to get injured enough to get him sent home. But to do that, he fucks up with everything Harry wants to do. And, oh my god. So, yeah, there's an issue there. So, the... rules of Quidditch were finalized in 1750 by the Ministry of Magic, which is strange because Quidditch would be a worldwide game. So that's a bit weird for me. Like, you can't have the Ministry of Magic in England finalizing the rules if it's not a English game primarily, right? That's a bit weird. So bad Ministry of Magic, but that's not unusual for the UK claiming authority over things they don't have anything to do with.
Okay, but where's Quidditch, like the origin of Quidditch?
That is a good question. If anybody knows the answer to that, let us know what the origin of Quidditch. Otherwise, we'll have to ask Elsa again. But, you know, we'll see. Okay, here we have the origin of Quidditch. So basically it has an ancient predecessor called Stichstock. That's from Germany, which is a single wizard acting as a guardian or goalkeeper trying to protect an inflated dragon bladder, which seems really impractical. A number of other players are mounted on broomsticks would attempt to pierce the bladder. The first who does it successfully is declared the winner. Fairly fun. And then an Irish game is also is part of the origin, and another Scottish game. So there's but few different games that amalgamated into Quidditch. Basically combined different roles. Like, you had the chaser role, you had the seeker role, you had the beater roles, and then together those were combined and thrown into Quidditch, which is why I have this weird, you know, three chasers, two beaters, that kind of stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Because it's a little bit of everything.
That could be where the point disparities came from originally, but I don't know. Beaters are... there's a game, basically... called Swivel Hodge. It's kind of like tennis, that involves hitting a pig's bladder towards across a hedge, which would be basically what caused the position of chaser, basically. So anyways, back to rules of Quidditch.
Yeah.
So the thing that like frustrates me is that you can't pause things. You can't like stop if something is going wrong, right? And
I mean, if it's about being worried that the snitch will be somewhere else or like all the others, can't they just put a spell on them and freeze them?
The bludgers.
Yeah.
You can't use magic during Quidditch.
Yeah, but as for time out or as an emergency.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, so the players are allowed to take the wands on the pitch, but they cannot be used on or against any other players. Any player's broomsticks, the referee, or any of the four balls, or the spectators, of course, because, you know, you can't attack yeah. spectators.
Good thinking.
Good thinking. Since 1849, you cannot not cast any spells as a member of the crowd as well, which is also a good good thing. If you do so, your team will automatically forfeit the match, whether or not the team approved the magic being used.
Oh my god.
Which is a bit of a hack.
Yeah.
Because if you dress up like the opposing team's fan and then start casting spells at your own teammates, you can rig the system. Schmort. But I'm sure they can use, like, maybe Veritaserum and get you to tell the truth there.
But that's a lot more effort.
Yeah. So another thing we get into in Quidditch Through the Ages is, like, you had this one Quidditch game that went on for weeks, right?
Yeah, I remember.
But
why didn't it end? I don't understand.
Didn't catch the snitch, right? That's the reason why.
Oh my god.
But here it says, in the rules I'm reading right here, is that you are not allowed to switch players during the game, even if a player is too tired or injured to continue, which is a direct contradiction with Goblet of Fire, where you actually talk about this multi-week Quidditch game where they switched out players.
Oh, whoa.
They also mentioned this at Hogwarts. They did have reserve players. They did have backups at some point. Yeah. Like, they used Cormac, for example. So why didn't they have a backup seeker when Harry gets injured? Like, I'm sure there's one other player that at Hogwarts that could play seeker for Gryffindor.
Yeah, but what are the chances there is another seeker?
They could put somebody on a broom. Like, when Harry gets injured, Ginny technically is at school, so she could do it. She did a pretty good job when Harry had the tension, so they could have done that in other cases as well to keep the game going. Give Gryffindor a fighting chance. Also, another question that I have here is that you can apparently also end the match through consent of both team captains if they agree. So if you're playing for multiple weeks, if one team has even a small advantage, their lead's going to be pretty big after a couple of days.
Yeah.
So why keep playing if you're losing by like 500 points? Why not just end the game there?
Exactly. Like, that would be so much easier.
Like, and Quidditch is such a stupid game.
Oh my god, they need to update their rules.
Yeah. J.K. Rowling, what were you thinking? Yeah, so it's interesting. There are about 700 fouls, by the way. The entire list is not public because apparently if they make the list public, witches and wizards might get ideas. So, like, they've just started, like, preemptively banning things. Like, this might happen.
Oh my god.
And then, like, you know, just to make sure, which is amazing. because, like, the amount of combinations you can get up to and, like, babbles are insane. So, like, if they, like, have, like, a list of 500 different kind of things, you could, like, you know, maybe.
Because they're probably easy to figure out.
Yeah. So about 90% of the fouls are banned, like, are not unknown fouls, which is great. So the 11 most common fouls we have are bludging, which is seizing the opponent's broom tail to slow or hinder. The basic foul is a player violently blocks a seeker from capturing the snitch. Blocking, deliberately putting oneself in the way of the opposing team's seeker with the intention of obstructing the way towards the snitch. Cobbing, excessive use of elbows. Flacking, of course, pushing any portion of anatomy through the goal hoop in an attempt to push the quaffle out.
Mm-hmm.
The keeper should defend from the front, not the rear.
Right.
Snitch nip, any player other than secret touching or catching the golden snitch.
Hmm.
Blatching, flying with the intent to collide. Blurting.
Yeah.
Locking broom handles with the intent of steering an opponent off course.
Mm-hmm.
Bumping, hitting bludges towards spectators. Haversacking, hand still in the quaffle as it goes through the goal hoop. Quaffle poking. Tampering with the quaffle, puncturing it so that, yeah, okay, there we have something. And stogging, more than one chaser entering the scoring area. Only one chaser in scoring at a time. So if interfering with a quaffle
mm-hmm.
is a foul, how isn't interfering with a bludger a foul?
It isn't.
No, because what? Apparently they did it. And they didn't call the stop the game. So it can't have been a foul. You interfering
Whoa.
Or a compromised bludger is not a foul in Quidditch, which means it's not on the 700 foul list.
Oh my God.
Which is insane.
common sense.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. Like, it's, come on, people, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, it should be no interfering with any of the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch the balls, Mona. Sorry, that's,
God.
Sorry. So yeah, it's absolutely terrible. Anyways,
yeah,
maybe that's enough Quidditch for now. We can come back to this in a little bit. So actually, you know what? Back to Quidditch.
Okay.
So one thing that pissed me off here is that, like, Harry mm-hmm. is like gripping on with his legs, right?
Yeah.
To play. Wouldn't a broom company make a broom that, like, helps you stay on? Like, you know, like bicycle, like, pedals have, like,
yeah,
those straps?
Like a little grip.
Yeah. Why don't you put those on a broom?
That, I feel like that wouldn't be efficient.
Just, like, a little strap thing that you could, like, just...
Because, like, it wouldn't, your movement wouldn't be swift.
But it's just your feet.
Yeah. Because it puts, like, pressure, it puts a little weight on your feet.
You can have a loose one. Just enough, like, make sure you don't fall off the broom if you let go with both your hands. Because if you're flying, if you're playing a game, it might be a good idea to at some point be able to have both yeah. your hands off the broom.
But the broom wasn't made for Quidditch.
No, but, like, I'm sure sporting brooms would have this.
Maybe.
And, like, just these are sporting brooms. Like, if I was a Muggleborn,
hey, mm-hmm.
we're on the subject of our podcast for once. If I was a Muggleborn, I would join a broom making company and be like, let's innovate. Let's add a little plastic strap or a little leather strap over the foot spots for this broom so that you can have better control and better maneuverability while you are playing.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good idea, but what are the chances that they're going to say yes to something like pretty advanced for Wizards?
Yeah.
Because we both That's know they like their basic, simple things.
But they do have, like, saddles and shit for horses, so, like, it's not that absurd. The same principle.
Oh, yeah.
Innovate your brooms, people. Make it easier to control the broom without your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever does that will have a massive advantage in the Quidditch World Cup. So
exactly, yeah.
Do it.
But then it would also prolong games.
Maybe, but they're already multiple days long, so, you know.
Mm, yeah, fair enough.
Or 5 minutes, who knows? That's also a really stupid rule. Like, you should be able to, like, have, like, in Muggle Quidditch, like we talked with the speaker, the beater from the Gothenburg Griffins,
mm-hmm.
Elsa. that you should be able, like, you should not release the snitch right off the bat. Like, you
Oh,
should wait with
yeah,
that, like, have like a longer, more enjoyable game before you release the fucking snitch.
that is nice.
Because otherwise, people like show up and like they travel to a game, pay for like a camping spot, wait entire night, go to the game, and it ends in 5 minutes.
But they're also wizards. They can like
Yeah, well,
transport.
still. So another thing when we come, so okay. One thing we learn, a couple things we learn here in this chapter is the mark of enslavement for house elves, that they can't wear clothing, right? Which gives which teaches us stuff, and it holds through the entire series. I'm not sure how it works with Harry giving Creature the locket. If like I'm like that's not clothing, but it's still like a very substantial gift. So I guess it has to be fabric, maybe.
Or maybe something that has a substantial meaning.
But the
'Cause
locket
like,
from the Black family, that's substantial meaning.
I know, but I mean something basic, something that everyone needs.
Yeah, people don't need a locket.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be it. That could be it.
Because they're very simple. They're very basic, like creatures.
Yeah, that's true. And then of course we learn that from Dobby, as usual, saying too much, that the Chamber of Secrets has been opened already, right? Which is like Dumbledore's been there when this happens. Like they should know what's going on. They should know exactly what's going on from day one. That somebody's been petrified. Chamber has been opened. Like, how does Mr. Binns not know about this?
Okay, but also because it's such a serious thing, you always start with denial.
True, but Dumbledore is a motherfucking pessimist. Like, he should be like, Dumbledore, you big bumblebee. He's a
I
bumblebee.
mean, deep down, everyone knew. They were just
Yeah,
too
maybe.
scared.
Okay. This is frustrating. So many stupid things about Quidditch. And then, of course, there's Lockhart removing all the bones in Harry's arm, which is insane.
Oh my God.
Like, he should have been fired for that. Like, come on, man. Like,
Like, spells are spells. It's just something that you pronounce and something that you say properly. How can someone mess it up?
he actually did the wrong spell. He straight up did the wrong spell.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah. The spell is a pisky. He did not say a pisky. Then of course he did say pesky pixie pesternomi, which is literally just him like using bad grammar in English, which is not a spell. That's not how magic works.
No.
And they literally got his wand and used it in the movie, which is insane.
How can idiots like how are idiots allowed to use magic? I don't understand.
Yeah.
There needs to be a basic level at least of understanding and learning.
Yeah.
Apparently Lockhart isn't one of them.
No, Lockhart is terrible. Okay, so before we round it off this chapter, which is basically now just a me ranting about Quidditch, I want to mention a few of the fouls that were committed in the 1473 Quidditch World Cup match, where all 700 fouls were committed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of these fouls were as follows: transfiguring a chaser into a polecat. Also, a polecat is my Patronus, so a little bit of information there. How this was one of the pre-predicted fouls is I don't understand. If they're like, if that's one of the fouls you can make, it's insane. Like, if that was a foul
What?
before, that's all. That's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Attempt the decapitation of a keeper with a broadsword.
Whoa.
I'm not sure if it's broadsword specific. Where if like attempted decapitation of this of the keeper with a poleaxe or poleaxe. Yeah. Is it a foul? I'm assuming it is. Is it the same foul? Is it a different foul? Is it a foul to use a broadsword on a chaser? I don't know.
Yeah.
The release of 100 blood-sucking vampire bats from under the Transylvanian captain's robes during the game.
Excuse me?
Yeah. The Transylvanian captain released 100 blood-sucking vampire bats from under his robes during the game. Is it a foul to release less blood-sucking vampire bats? Is it a foul to release them from other places?
So, I mean, okay, why would someone release them to begin with?
To distract the other players. But I'm not entirely sure if that's effective, because that those would most likely attack all the players. Like, I don't exactly know.
It's just a sabotage game, maybe. It's not necessary they would choose a team.
Yeah. And setting fire to an opponent's broom, that's a fairly straight,
like, illogical foul. One. Yeah.
No tampering with people's brooms. Attacking the opponent's broom with a club and attacking the opponent with an axe. Okay. So axes are a foul. Good to know. Not only if you attempt to decapitate the somebody with an axe. Any attack with an axe is a foul. Good. That's good to know. Because this Quidditch game is insane. These people have some really, really important introspection to do. This game, by the way, is between Transylvania and Flanders, and was the most violent game in Quidditch history.
No wonder there's 700 fouls.
Also, I'm not entirely sure if all of them committed in this game. Is it because they were all committed, or is it because they were committed and then they were declared fouls on the spot?
I feel like they were declared fouls on the spot.
Yeah, because that's like the most creative.
Yeah, exactly.
Piece. Yeah.
Because a lot happened that's pretty specific to those fouls.
Yeah, there's some there's some insane stuff here. But you know, I guess the Transylvanians and the Flanders teams are really, really violent.
Wait, Flanders as in
there's not an actual country. That's actually an interesting question about where Wizarding Borders go and when Wizarding Borders were written.
Yeah.
But we'll most likely have to get into that later on. But really important for all you listeners this week, does the Austro-Hungarian Empire still exist in the Wizarding World? Or is it a bunch of separate countries? Are we dealing with, you know, a Yugoslavia? Or are we dealing with a Holy Roman Empire-esque thing? Or are we dealing with, is Germany one country? Are we dealing with, are we dealing with Wizarding Prussia and Wizarding Bavaria and Wizarding, I don't know.
Okay. This is like a whole nother topic. get it together.
But do I want to? I want to explore this subject.
Yeah, that'll be a whole another time. Episode.
Okay. Little warning for all you guys: we'll be doing apparently a Wizarding Borders episode, and I don't know when we might think that the borders of the Wizarding World, or where the Wizarding World's borders are drawn. Is it geographically? Is it language? Is it whatever it is? Give us your hot takes in the comment section on something, and hopefully we will be able to have a little discussion about that.
On Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Just tell us your opinion. Let us know.
We will post a post with a question about that on Instagram, I promise.
Oh my God. Yeah.
With that, we'll be back again with you next week to talk about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 11, which is the Dueling Club.
Yay.
And of course, remember to like and subscribe to this podcast. Like us on Facebook at the Of Muggles and Mudbloods podcast and on Instagram at Of Muggles and Mudbloods. And of course, leave us a rating and review because it helps us get more views. And of course, share us with a friend or an enemy who likes Harry Potter, because I guess you do have enemies that like Harry Potter as well. Because
or professors. I've told my professors about my
You've
podcast.
You've told professors about this?
I've mentioned it, but I haven't said the name. That's it.
I wonder what your professors think of you.